Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code BONKERS at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. And if you want to look beautiful, why don't you wear one of our new BB-8 shirts? That's right. What is its mission? You can get that at howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com. Now, just so you know, every order is made individually. So whatever you're ordering is made just for you. So it takes 2 to 7 days to process, and then it's sent out to you. If you have any questions, that's why it's taking a couple days to get to you. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, a group of writers were tasked with writing a holiday special about Star Wars, but none of them ever saw Star Wars. We saw Star Wars, the holiday special, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made, our holiday edition. Normally, we do movies on the podcast. We are doing something different today. We are focusing on a 1978 CBS television special that was made around Christmas time, focusing on Star Wars. If you have not seen it, I urge you right now to stop what you're doing and check it out. You can find links to it because it's not available to rent or download anywhere. You can find links to the YouTube page that it's on our Twitter and Facebook page. But now that you have all this warning in front of you, I now would like to introduce my co-host, live from New York, Jason Mantzoukas.
Hey-o!
In New York right now.
In New York City, celebrating Life Day.
Yes, so excited. As the listeners of the show know, June does not celebrate Life Day and is very anti-Life Day, so she is not here. But we have some amazing guests joining
us. Does that mean that June is part of the Empire?
I'm just saying that June, was brought up Imperial and doesn't really celebrate kind of Wookiee
celebration. Does she celebrate the war on Hollett on Life Day?
I don't want to talk about what she does. Yes, I mean, okay. She believes that obviously that, you know, I don't want to tell you, there's a lot of things going on with June and her beliefs, and we keep them very separate. You just heard Matt Gourley, who is joining us, and I would say the maker of so many great podcasts, but also a true Star Wars fan.
From way back, I had to have seen this on TV. I have vague recollections of it. I would have been 5 when this was on, so there's no way I missed it. But then I was given a bootleg copy of this in the early 90s, which I treasured, and it had all the commercials intact, so this thing has been with me my whole life.
And you know her from the middle. Please welcome Eden Cher. You're a newer Star Trek Star Wars convert, right?
Yes. I just saw the originals like a year and a half. I don't even remember like actually seeing the second one. I feel like I watched it but didn't like actually watch it. But yeah, I just saw them like a year and a half, 2 years ago. But then I saw the new one. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I love the new one. There's so much to talk about. But this special, this is crazy because I got like a DVD of this when I was a kid, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy and weird, but I never watched the entire thing.
Really?
At all. No.
It's impossible. It's impossible to sit through it all at one time.
Did people, you got it, like people gave it as gifts for, like, it as a thing?
It was, well, here's like a little bit of the backstory, and it's all kind of a little bit documented. I'm going to kind of give you my version of it. This was made, George Lucas says he had no involvement in it, but it has come out that he has had involvement in it. He had watched the dailies every day, and he had asked for this to be about Wookiees on the planet of Kashyyyk because he wanted to get into this in the Star Wars world. So he was a little hands-on, and then he also gave it to these writers, like Pat Proft, who wrote Airplane and Naked Gun, and of course, Bruce Valanche, who
That's right.
TV's Bruce Valanche.
And classic Valanche. There's so many classic Valanche bits in this.
And none of them seem to have watched Star Wars at this point that this was being made. So you have writers who are not versed in the Star Wars universe writing a special for Star Wars. And but there are a lot of interesting things that we'll get into that kind of connect to the Star Wars canon. But yes, this is a failed thing. And George Lucas has gone around and said, if he had a sledgehammer in the time, he would go around and destroy every single existing copy of this.
I'm pretty sure he has both of those now.
Yeah. But I think the internet has saved the Star Wars Holiday Special because you can't get it anywhere. It's not on DVD. You can't download it. No one wants you to see this, and they shouldn't because it is – I mean, it's next level crazy. I mean, it really
is. It's garbage.
It is not garbage.
It's garbage.
It is and beautiful.
I watched this. I did watch this when it came out. I remember it.
Well, to me, this is like the thing that's so crazy about it is your main characters are Wookiees who don't speak English and are not subtitled.
God, it's amazing.
I would,
the entire thing is in Wookiee, except for the people that come into the Wookiee's life who are all TV and like Broadway stars from like the 1950s.
I mean, Art Carney. I mean,
B. Arthur, Harvey
Korman twice,
three times,
right?
Yeah, it's insane.
So let's talk about that because if they were household names, it was only because of Star Wars. Were they doing this to stay in the good graces of Lucas for the next parts of the trilogy? How did this happen?
Or were they getting paid? Were they getting paid a ton? Like, how much money did CBS put into this?
I mean, I don't imagine it was a lot because when you look at it, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
It looks like a soap
awful.
Opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't put it on the screen.
Yeah, it's not there. And I feel like every character or every actor that was involved, like, seems like they were there begrudgingly. No one wanted to be
here. For sure. And this special is summed up by the initial showings of the three stars. So you get right in sequence Luke, who's wearing strange amount of eyeliner.
Yeah,
he looked like a little girl. Yes. I wrote down Mark Hamill, little girl.
Yeah. And then it cuts directly to Harrison Ford, who does a really reluctant nod to camera, and then straight into Carrie Fisher's drug stupor. And those three things, I think, sum up this holiday special completely. You know what you're in for.
And it seems to me like this connection to Chewbacca's family, if we just want to even talk about like thematically, like I don't think that like – I don't know if Luke has the best relationship with Chewbacca's family.
But he does in this.
It's like everybody knows Mala, Itchy, and Lumpy.
Yeah. And there are like there's a certain point where they call Carrie Fisher and she's like, look, I don't want to tie up the line. Can you just put Chewbacca on the phone? Which even get Carrie Fisher is like, I don't want to talk to Lumpy and Mala. Let's get the main guy in. But like
His name is Chewbacca. Okay, that I get. Why did he name his son Itchy and his father named Lumpy?
I can answer this because I had the Wookiee storybook that went along with this.
Oh, my God.
So Itchy, Lumpy, and Mala are all nicknames. So they're really long. Like Mala Warrump is her real name. It's like it almost gets like
Slovakian. Do you feel like this was made retroactively after someone described
it? Had to be to justify it. It had to be. There was something I noticed this time through right in the beginning when it cuts to the first ad that I think also may answer some questions about where the American public was.
Oh, yeah, please.
The first ad is for General Motors. And their slogan is, I wrote it down, transportation to serve people. People building transportation to serve people. That couldn't be more literal, and there's nothing catchy about that. And I think that these people making this probably are dealing with that public that would eat that up. People building transportation to serve people. That's just people building cars. That doesn't mean your company's making anything good.
That's basically trying to explain, like, how did this car get here?
Somebody made it.
Don't worry, people built it.
But it also goes to that there was no car competition. Like foreign imports were just starting to happen because the original commercials are like every third commercial is a union commercial too.
Well, yeah, because I remember I think on the copy that I watched for this, the commercial is like a guy like, I'm Ted Baker, and I make these cars. And he just talks about his day of making Fords. And he's like, I like the welding the most because it's a real art.
I'm so sad. I did not get any of the actual commercials.
I think I may have just had one of the commercials on, because I BitTorrented this special. Oh. I did not watch it on YouTube.
I remember my VH copy. And
it's okay to BitTorrent something that's illegal to get.
Okay, I actually want to know, though, how was the reception of it when it originally aired?
Well, it only aired once, so that should tell you anything Christmas, it seems like it will air a million times. I mean, Lucas did buy every copy of it, so no one can air it again.
Wait, is that true, or is that?
That is true. Lucas did buy every single copy. He could. So, yeah, the master copies. So it can never be broadcast. I want to just show, like, the lackluster performance right off the top. This is Han and Chewie as they are kind of flying into Life Day. And you could just tell it was, like, one take only.
I'm turning back. I know your family's waiting.
I know it's an important day.
All right, we'll give it a try. I'll set your coordinates.
We won't jump far.
I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me.
So that's a little bit of a Han and...
I'm going to Lightspeed.
The sound effects are actually louder than the actual dialogue. They're just going through the motions. And I just love, though, it grounds this world in a way that I don't want it grounded. Like, it's like, why, like, I don't think of Chewbacca having a family, nor do I want Chewbacca to have a family, oddly.
Right. Yeah. Because it also implies that Han Solo is keeping him away for his family year after year, and he only gets to go home once a year.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is Life Day, is that the one time? Is it the one time he goes home?
This also brought up a question for me in the new Star Wars movie. I won't spoil anything, but it does harken back to something to this, that Chewbacca can see his family.
Well, Chewbacca is a bad dad. I mean, that's what I'm learning right away. Yeah.
And they all seem to love him.
He's a deadbeat dad. He's a total deadbeat dad off fighting in the rebellion while his family is home getting terrorized by stormtroopers and imperial guards.
But he's clearly sending a lot of money home because they have a nice house. I would live in that house.
That's a very nice house. But I mean, I will even take it one step back. He's barely in, like, the Republic. I'm sorry.
Rebellion.
The Rebellion. He's barely in the Rebellion because he's just a smuggler. I mean, he gets caught up in the Rebellion.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. So before this, they're like, Chewbacca's just hanging out with his buddy, just shooting around the galaxy with a gun. Just like, he's a bad dude, a bad dad. Like, he only recently has really stepped it up. And also, I mean, the other thing too, which is like really insulting, I guess, but I guess they credit R2-D2 and R2-D2 and C-3PO as R2-D2 and C-3PO. They do not like call them by their actor names, even though there are people inside those suits. But yet, Darth Vader is James Earl Jones.
Yeah, and Anthony Daniels did the voice.
Yeah.
What do you mean they credit that? Like in the credits?
In that terrible opening credits, like, with Hans, you know, like, so they go, with R2-D2 and C-3PO. And then when Darth Vader came on, it was James Earl Jones.
Oh.
So interesting. Even though James Earl Jones was technically not in the special, he was only in reused footage from the Star Wars movies. And, so, all right. So this, there's so much to talk about here. They're in a nice mid-century modern house.
They are.
With felt. Well, there's a green. What is the floor is just felt.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're Wookiees, so they have soft feet already, and they're just they're just a creature.
Yeah, they're walking carpets. They don't really need much in the terms of carpets.
How high up are they, and how do they actually get down? Because a stormtrooper was killed by falling off.
Oh, huge. Yeah.
They straight up murder someone in this.
They murder somebody in the worst fight of all time. Harrison Ford, like, his choreographing of this fight is like, dodge to the left, dodge to the right, and the guy just literally just jumps over a ledge. Han Solo not giving a shit. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm here.
Then they walk inside, and it's like, hey, that guy's not going to give us any trouble anymore. Ha-ha, because we killed him.
It was a way for them to do a family-friendly kill, because it was just a fake-out. It's not his fault he fell off the balcony.
Yeah, Han Solo just went a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right. He just zigged and zagged him. This whole special is really basically people watching or Wookiees watching TV.
No shit.
Yes. The whole thing. It almost seemed like every, also like it was just broken up into all these like segments. So they have so many devices to watch TV on. And like, it's like every one of those was just kind of killing time. Like, yeah, this is the whole special. What are you stalling?
Yeah, they really are just, they're just killing time for some, the next thing to happen. And they have more, they have iPods, they have like TVs, they have iPads. Like, there's not one device.
They have a virtual reality porno?
Oh, yes.
Wait, God. I mean, before we even get into it, because I have so much to say about that.
Because I could just talk about that alone.
Maybe we should just get to it.
Yeah.
Because to me, that is the reason that a podcast like this should exist. And it wasn't like I was saying, how did this get made for this whole thing? I understood why the special got made. But that 5 minutes, how did that happen? It is the single most baffling moment of television history that I have ever seen.
It's absolute insanity.
According to the producer and director, Mitzi Welch, the scene with Diane Carroll was intended to be softcore porno that would pass the censors.
It's a joke, right? Like, they knew what they were doing.
I think they had to, because it's, like, let's take a listen to Diane Carroll, just so, if you've not seen the special, and I really would recommend that you watch, like, 15 hours of Thomas the Tank instead of this, because it would be easier to get through. But take a listen to this. This is how Diane Carroll sounds, and you'll just, a couple of seconds to get the idea.
I know you're searching for me. Searching. I am here. My voice is for you alone. I am found in your eyes only. I exist for you. I am in your mind as you create me. Oh, yes. I can feel my creation. I'm getting your message. Are you getting mine?
Ew.
So basically, Lumpy, the grandfather, is in a virtual reality headset. By the way, this show is very, it's kind of like the Jules Verne of specials.
Except
it really
that
is predicting.
Headset is made out of a salon hairdryer.
Yes.
He's, by the way, he's watching this porno in the middle of the living room.
And he's gumming himself. Like, his mouth is moving so uncomfortably.
I have nothing. I did not understand what was happening. I watched half of it, like, before I went to sleep, and then half of it in the morning, and I was pretty sure that was, like, part of my dream going into it. I was like,
how do you
not
know what's real and what's not?
Yeah. It's so bizarre because, I mean, she's singing and performing from, I not that it's unusual, but I also thought it was odd that Lumpy, the old grandfather, likes humanoids. Like,
plenty weird. Plenty.
I thought that with the with the cooking show also, I was like, why? I don't know. I was really hung up on this. Why are these Wookiees watching a cooking show? Why isn't there a Wookiee? Why is there a human?
Well, that's the thing about, like, all Star Wars to me that kind of gets me. It's like, here's a planet full of Wookiees. So if you think of Earth as the comparison, like, you know, like, yeah, we are, even within our Earth, there are so many different subcultures. Here, they're just shipping it out to, like, humanoids. They're like, you have a planet. And there's, like, a line in here where, like, Han Solo's like, there's some traffic. We're going to land on the north side of the planet.
Yeah.
That would be like me going like, oh, yeah, I got to get home to California. I'll land in China. We'll figure it out. Like, there's no sense there that would make it simpler to get home.
The simple answer is they're like, well, we already know we really want to do 30 minutes of Wookiees just talking to each other with no subtitles. We should put some humans in there for something.
No subtitles. And really the first, I would say 10 minutes, doesn't even
minutes.
Have
at
13.
Least, yeah. Least, yeah.
Doesn't even have a human to tell you what's going on. It's just a Wookiee.
I started to lose my mind. I was like, what's going on? What are we doing here? Is this what we're doing? Is this the whole thing?
We're talking honestly about one of the most interesting specials of all time, because not only is it a special where they don't speak English, it's a special where they got softcore porn in, but then it's also like trying to get in like a whole idea of like Nazism. I feel like the Nazi thing is big in this.
Yeah, no
this
kidding. Is bigger than in the films.
Way bigger.
It scared me. It actually scared me when they started, oh my God, when he tore apart the stuffed animal.
Yeah.
It actually frightened me.
But there's something
that's
so
that's the part I remember from when I was a kid watching it, was when they trash Itchy's room. I was like, I remember very powerfully being super upset and scared by that.
Well, it was even scary for me to watch it now because it's like, why is this stormtrooper going into this kid's room to basically just break shit? Like, just destroying this kid's room.
I definitely thought that there was going to be, I thought there was like a buildup to the stuffed animal. Like, I thought he was going to find something in it.
Yeah.
He just broke it for the hell of it.
The thing that's more unsettling to me, though, is that you have Nazis, but then you have this 70s aesthetic. And so there's like an Imperial Guard Nazi with a whisk broom mustache that is so off-putting. When he tears up Lumpy's room. Oh, God.
Well, it's so weird because it's like they're trying to make so many statements and none of them work. Because the other thing is, too, like the whole premise is like they're waiting for Chewbacca to get back and like the Imperial forces are like, where's Chewbacca? But it's not like he's hiding something, but they act as if they're hiding this 7-foot-tall giant Wookiee. Like, why would they need to like break stuff in the? It's like he's very apparent when he's around. And they also, when he does finally get back to them, they got to keep Chewbacca far away from them because his costume's so much better than
their costumes that they
cannot put them in the same shot. Yeah. Like, one looks like you got it at a costume shop, and one's like a Hollywood costume.
Yeah.
I found the little boy costume to be very unsettling.
Isn't Itchy the grandfather and Lumpy's the kid? I thought Lumpy
was the kid, but I don't know.
I thought, let me tell
you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think, Itchy's the old man, right? Yeah, I think.
Thank God.
Got it.
Okay. I agree and disagree about Lumpy being unsettling in the costume. I loved him so much. So much. He's my favorite character.
He somehow manages to look like Gary Coleman in some way.
I just want to know what was going on in that little kid's mind, too, because, like, that kid, that is a child
it
or
was
a midget.
Yeah,
there's a woman in there.
Oh, it's a woman.
And a man plays Mala.
Weird.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
So is Chewbacca gay?
That's a female Wookiee played by a male human.
Got it.
I also thought
that would be an amazing reveal.
I would love a gay Chewbacca. No spoilers for Force Awakens, but maybe you'll get it.
Like this whole time, he's just hoping for something with Han.
That's why he stays away from his wife for so long. He's like, I can't go back there. I'm not myself. I need to be out
beard,
here.
Beard, his literal beard.
I wrote down this. Of one of the many things that they watched Cirque du Soleil or a version of Cirque du Soleil. And I wrote down, bad Cirque du Soleil is good. Good Cirque du Soleil is great. Medium Cirque du Soleil is unwatchable. And that's what this is.
Right.
It's not quite Cirque du Soleil. And it's so boring to watch. And like, who is this appealing to? Bad.
Bruce Valanche.
I wonder, like, okay, so I just want to make sure. This came out, this was only after the first one.
Yes, right? Yeah. 1978 it came out.
So they had, because when I watched that, so I wasn't quite, like, I'm not super familiar with all Star Wars, so I was like, I know this chessboard thing. I've seen it. That's what they do. They have things on it, like games, whatever. Is the Cirque du Soleil thing, is that something that happens?
Like another app?
You thought it was in the movie or something.
Yes, yeah. I was like, is this just something that they weren't quite sure was going to be part of the universe and they were testing something out?
Oh, my God.
Like the other things that they could do on the Millennium Falcon. All right, guys, it's going to take us a little time in our warp speed to get there. So let's just, let's queue up
the mum and chance. Let's go.
Hey, everybody, hold that thought. We're going to cut to a commercial break, but before we go, I wanted to let you know that Blake Harris is writing a brand new oral history of this very episode right now, so head on over to Slash Film when you're done listening to read everything and anything that you wanted to learn about the Star Wars Holiday Special. Oh, man. You need glasses. You do, okay? But they're so expensive. Contemporary eyeglasses are always expensive. But let me tell you, our friends at Warby Parker are making them extremely affordable and fashion forward. Glasses should be viewed as an accessory, all right? But they should not be costing as much as an iPhone, okay? Here's the deal. At Warby Parker, if you go there, warbyparker.com/how, you can get prescription glasses starting at $95. That includes the lenses. What the what? Yes. Just go over to warbyparker.com/how. You get reading glasses, you get sunglasses, you get regular glasses, plus they have this new thing. Actually, June got these. They're the Windsor Collection with a starting price of 195 buckaroos. They make buying glasses online easy. It's risk-free and most of all enjoyable because here's the deal. There's some people out there in this world that just want glasses. They want to look like someone who wears glasses. Guess what? Warby Parker is good for you. Then there are people out there who actually need glasses because they're blind, people like me, and they'll send you actual glasses. And there are people out there who are like, hey, I don't like the sun. It hurts my eyes. That's most of everyone. And they have sunglasses too, okay? Here is the deal. They have a try-on home program, right? You get 5 pairs. They ship directly to your house for free. You try on all the frames, get a feel for them, get feedback from other people. 5 pairs for 5 days. You mail back the ones that you don't want in a prepaid package. Easy peasy, all right? Very, very good. Plus, they got this whole thing about digital freeform progressive lenses. I don't understand it. You don't either. But basically, if you have strong prescriptions, you're going to get cool lenses. They have very ultra-thin high-index lenses. Again, we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty here, people. If you have prescriptions, they're going to be able to fill them. So head on over to warbyparker.com/how to try your free glasses today. Choose 5 frames. Mail back the ones you like. Well, not the ones you like, the ones you don't like. And you basically can get your RX fulfilled. You can do everything. Get a pair of your Warby Parkers today. All right, every pair of Warby Parker glasses sold, they distribute a pair of glasses to someone in need. So, warbyparker.com/how to begin your free home try-on experience today. I talk about this all the time. What am I going to say? Paul, you're going to say you love Squarespace. Well, I do. I love Squarespace. Why? Because you can create a website, which is something that's so elusive to so many people. If you're a grandmother, you can create a website on Squarespace. If you're a child, you can create a website on Squarespace. You can always create a website, and it's so good and easy. Why? Because they look professionally designed, regardless of skill level. There's no coding required. It's intuitive. It's easy to use. You get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So what I'm going to tell you is this, okay? If you want a website, create one yourself. You have a store. You have a shirt. You have ideas. You want to write blogs. Whatever you want to do, Squarespace is going to facilitate your idea on the information superhighway. I don't know if they still call it that, but Squarespace will put an exit on there that's your exit. I've done it twice. I built paulshear.com and I built crashtestshow.com as Squarespace websites, and they run great. They're really, really cool. So head on over to Squarespace, okay? If you decide to sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code BONKERS, okay? That's BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for the show. So head on to squarespace.com. Go over there. Tell them how much you love How Did This Get Made just by going there. You don't have to tell them anything. You just go to squarespace.com and use the offer code BONKERS. And I want to tell you one thing about Squarespace. When you build it, it's going to be beautiful. That's not their slogan. Their slogan is build it beautiful, but I'm changing it because we're on such friendly terms. All right, now back to the show. We can get into Art Carney. Art Carney, who
oh
was
my God.
Is he the creepy white guy?
He is the creepy. Well, he's
the Trader Joe,
who was supposed to be Lando Calrissian.
What?
Apparently, Lucas came up with the idea for Lando as being this traitor who had an outpost on a Wookiee planet. And so this was, like we introduced Boba Fett later supposed to be the introduction of Lando Calrissian.
Oh.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And was this also then, was it the introduction of Boba Fett?
Yes.
Because he wasn't in the first
one. He was not in the first
one. And this was followed up by this, if you collected the action figures, you could send in proofs of purchase and get a Boba Fett before he came out in the movie. And then, of course, the big scandal where his rocket fired and apparently choked a child, so they recalled it. And you can't get the rocket-firing Boba Fett.
I didn't know that he choked a kid.
Well, that was the rumor. I think it was actually the Cylon toy that did it. But because of that, they recalled, or I think never produced the actual firing one. And I remember getting it, or this kid in kindergarten got it first. And he's like, it doesn't launch like they said. And I went, no, that's a lie. Give it to me. And I had to like fully inspect it. Like, you're missing the button or something. And it was gone.
Well, I also like that Boba Fett, the action figure, can kill. Like, that's a great assassin. If you're, even your toy can kill a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the one to be reckoned with.
Sleeper cell.
Okay, well, that seems weird to me, though, to introduce, like, that. Then this special was, like, weirdly, really important.
Yeah. It could have been great. It should have been great. Somebody involved with Star Wars should have been involved in it, I guess. So yeah. I think they gave him like a lot of table scraps. Like, and yeah, there'll be a Boba Fett and this Lando guy, and there's
Kashyyyk. Now I'm just imagining if they went to Cloud City and it was Art Carney that greeted them when they landed the ship.
Oh my God.
Get out of here, you old
Art
pirate.
Art Carney, I feel like both Art Carney and B. Arthur. I felt so bad for them because all of the Star Wars jargon and names felt so unnatural coming out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Like the scene where B. Arthur is the cantina bartender and goes around begging every customer to leave.
Oh my God.
Why wouldn't they leave also?
Yeah.
Why?
And yet I feel
so
like
crazy.
Harvey
and
Korman.
I was like, she memorized all this nonsense.
And I feel that Harvey Korman, on the other hand, fully committed to it and just went 100% in.
Basically, Harvey Korman's doing performance art. Because I would even argue that Harvey Korman's not even, like, first of all, that cantina scene is part cabaret.
It's all cabaret, which was so conflicting for me as a child going, I know this is Star Wars and I'm drawn to it, but I can't stand this because I hated musical numbers as a kid.
Well, I mean, again, like I'm just, as you kind of see all the influences, it's all bad. But Harvey Korman comes in as this like lovelorn guy who drinks out of a thing in his head.
Yeah, he still has a mouth.
Yes.
He still has a mouth. Still fully humanoid, but he just pours drinks in his head. And he comes in as this like lovelorn guy who wants to like be with B. Arthur. And again, I'm thinking, for what child is this like this sad, like romantic, like this drunk coming and going to the bartender? Like, I love you, let's be together. So sad.
I think because the writers were all seasoned variety show writers, so they went, let's plug in the old guy at the bar sketch in here and just get it done. We got to kill 2 hours.
To me,
yeah,
Harvey Korman.
It feels. It feels like an old-fashioned, it doesn't feel at all modern or current. It feels old-fashioned like an old variety show in that way, and those are all the games they're playing
but
all the appropriate actors.
But it wasn't funny.
No, it had no joy to it. It was almost melancholy. The whole special is upsettingly sad. It's like, all right, a family's being tortured. This woman is being like her like everybody who owns a store is being like shut down by these Nazis. And like, you know, like, and there's no joy. And even in the end, when they finally get to Life Day, it seems like a somber holiday as well.
They take the cantina theme, which is the happiest music in Star Wars, maybe next to that Ewok song.
Yeah.
Turn it into some kind of minor key cabaret dirge. And it's incredible.
And then they're just like, you know, the Mos Eisley Cantina, which is very like weirdly described why they're even watching it. And they're like, no, you'll watch a live feed from another planet. So are we watching like a webcam inside Mos Eisley Cantina that's being broadcast on like satellite television? Like, I don't even understand how we're getting there. But why would we? Yeah, why would you, like, they say that, like, Mos Eisley is, like, the hive of scum and villainy. Like, it would be, like, you
By
would never.
Kander and Ebb.
Yeah, you would never put a webcam there to broadcast across the universe.
Well, I guess because they were trying to somehow, like, get them in trouble because they, like, then they got shut down. But, and a lot of the whole thing kind of doesn't have a point, obviously. But actually, what was the point of having that there? Why did
we? Not
killing time. There were so many instances where I literally said out loud, take your time, holiday special, take your time.
It's a 2-hour special that could probably have been really good at, like, a 30-minute special.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
A great 30 minutes.
I had a question also. Yeah. I really didn't understand. For the cartoon part,
yeah.
Was this fiction? Or was it, what was he watching?
I had the same problem because Lumpy or whoever, the kid, is watching his dad in a cartoon. Yeah. So that's weird, and he seems affected by it. Like, so I don't know if, like, Chewbacca has commissioned a buddy who's an animator to like show him his adventures, but he literally is freaked out at a certain point. Oh, my dad's in trouble. It's like,
in some ways, this is like so David Lynchian in an absurdly brilliant way. Who, by the way, was the original choice for Return of the Jedi director?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, and he turned it down.
That would have been great.
I know.
And the original
and,
Return
and
of the,
then made Dune.
Well, what, you know, Return of the Jedi was supposed to be on a whole planet full of Wookiees, but then they simplified it and made it Ewoks. But I think for maybe marketing purposes, I'm sure somebody, J.W. Rinsler, can get in here and describe that to why that happened. This was the original conception. Like, oh my gosh, it's so bizarre because that makes no sense at all while he's watching his dad. And if they did want to watch his dad, I could get them going like, oh, that's why they're delayed. Maybe that's why they're delayed. But we see in the very beginning that they're not delayed because of that. They're just kind of just fighting. They're just randomly just fighting.
Do you think that was the cartoon made as a way of like championing these great figures of the rebellion?
Oh, I think you guys are giving it too much thought. Like, I don't think like that propaganda? Thought was put in there. I think it was seriously, we have this cartoon to market this action figure, find a way to fit it in, and just know that I'm not going to check up on this, so do it however you want. My name's George Lucas.
You know, we did actually, our guy, Blake Harris, is writing a very good oral history. You can check it out on Slash Film. If you're bored here on Christmas and you're listening to this on Christmas, head on over to Slash Film and read the oral history of this, because actually the director of this special was the guy who directed the Elvis comeback special. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, so he has like some real chops, but here none of them are on display at all. But it, like, they made a drama. A drama holiday special for children.
This like really was intended.
A Star Wars Holocaust special.
Imagine if Anne Frank was with Wookiees and you would get the Life Day special.
Can we talk about Princess Leia for a second?
Oh, because my gosh, yes.
When they call her on the screen and she gets up from her desk, which she's no doubt sitting behind because she doesn't want to stand up just physically. She gets and walks towards the camera, has to sort of lean on the desk a little bit to make it the full way. She does that thing that actors do when they don't know their lines and they take a very like meaningful breath. And she would pause between each of her lines while she would think of her line. And then I rewound it. Did you guys catch this? Her line, I think, is, I don't want to tie up the channels. But she says, I don't want to tire up the channels. She's blitzed. It's amazing.
Like that, by the way, I want to even talk about how they even get her on the view screen. They get her on the view screen. The view screen is like X's and O's, like literally like just like X, X, O, 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 X, X, X. Okay, we got the transmission. Like they didn't even try to do anything like weird alien language, just X's and O's. This is not even a first draft. This is like a draft where people pulled pages out of a garbage can. It's like, yeah, that one.
Oh, this is a show that features a full-length cooking segment about how to make bantha.
Yes.
That is step-by-step an actual cooking program.
Bantha loin.
And I was going to say with that that cooking program, there's no real joke in this thing besides the fact that the guy has multiple arms. And if you took that away, it's just a cooking segment that Harvey Korman is really committing to.
Boring. Boring cooking segment.
But it's manic. I wasn't super bored. I was mostly confused, but I was compelled.
Yeah.
Because it was like, spin, 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 wood, spin, wood, spin, spin. And then other hands came in.
Wait, let's even play a little bit of Harvey Korman saying spin, spin, whip, 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 whip.
So, and on the count of one, stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, whip, whip. Whip, stir. Come on, faster all together now. Cooking can stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Wah! Having fun, all right? Coming along nicely now. Step three. We all...
That is for kids. Enjoy it, kids.
He has in his voice the fear of a man who knows this is not funny and just will not stop for fear of hearing the silence.
He went home every night and wept. Like, he has to say having fun just to tell you that they're having fun.
Well, like, isn't it known? I remember this from the Howard Stern interview with Carol Burnett, like, that Harvey Korman was kind of like a jerky diva at certain points. And, like, he left the Carol Burnett show and was, like, always an asshole to people.
He was the Chevy Chase of Carol Burnett's
show. Exactly. So, like, I feel like this was his chance to be like, you know what? I got asked to do the Star Wars holiday special. I don't need you, Carol Burnett writers. I'm going to go off and do my own thing. And then left to his own devices. This is what Harvey Korman did. And I'm sure they gave him a 100% creative license to do whatever, because he does seem into it. He is, out of everyone, is not phoning it in at all.
I think he understands that Star Wars is now a phenomenon where maybe some of those other people don't. You know, well, what did they tell Diane Carroll? Like, we're going to have you sensually talk to the camera right now. I want to know what they told her more than I want to know who killed Kennedy. How that went down that day on the set, I would pay no amount of money for.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing, too, just for those people out there wondering. This is canon. The Star Wars holiday special, like, if you exist, it exists in a world, like, everything in the Star Wars universe, there are, like, things that are canon, things that are not. So a lot of the books have now been excised. That's not canon. But this is in the world. Like, so technically, if you were to build something, you can reference that this all happened.
I think Lucas is just not kicking it out of canon because he didn't ever want to admit it was in canon. The minute he kicks it out of canon, that will legitimize it.
And right, so by not mentioning it. I'm so curious why Lucas refused to, I mean, that's a bold move, and that's like a 70s move too. Like, no, they'll speak in Wookiee, and that's that.
Yeah.
America's got to get with the program. Like, that is not fun for anyone, because we're really just watching a family waiting. It's like a Truman Show with Wookiees, but the boring parts of Truman Show.
No, it's waiting for Godot is what it is.
It is. It really is.
It is. Art Carney. I also want to talk about Art Carney's code. So he's in front of the Imperial troopers.
Oh, yeah.
And he's... his code language for, like, what Chewbacca is, like, I hope you, I got that large furry package in for you, but it might be delayed. Like, it's like, everyone knows what he's talking about. Yeah. This trooper should be a little bit quicker on the uptake.
I did not actually understand what the, I didn't really understand his position, his position in the whole, like, and why was the Imperial guy there? And also, I'm pretty sure he said something by hand, made by hand.
She made it by
Solo.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was the bad code. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You could say she made it by hand. Solo.
So I guess he just runs like a little, like, shop.
He's a trader and family friend. It takes a village. Imperial
guards come in, he says, I just thought I'd show you some of the stupid stuff Wookiees purchased from me anyway.
I guess some of the interesting things that Wookiees purchase are miniature fish tanks.
Sure.
Like, there was, it was so like, and that, I guess that's a joke. Like, hey, look, it's a miniature fish tank that you can keep in your pocket.
But do Wookiees have pockets? Guys, do Wookiees have pockets?
Like maybe marsupial pouches?
Yeah, like kangaroos. Yeah.
I was actually thinking,
I've never seen them pull anything out of their pockets.
What if Chookies? What if Chewbacca's like bandolier is just full of miniature fish tanks? Like, I thought it was bullets. It's just miniature fish tanks in there.
From every life day, he has.
Oh, thank you for the. Oh, he likes the miniature fish tank.
I was also a little confused about then, like, ubiquity? Like, the common, this is just, Life Day is just a Wookiee holiday.
I imagine, right?
As far
yes.
as we know.
But everyone respects this. Yeah. Everyone is like, this is a big deal.
Yeah, we
for
know.
Chewy, yeah.
Well, I feel like Chewie's probably always talking about Life Day, his Life Day memories.
right.
But yeah, they always are like, I guess in the middle of, like, the rebellion, you know, Chewbacca's like, hey, guys, I'd love to kind of do the Death Star stuff or whatever, but I got to make it home. I got to, like, can I take a holiday weekend? like Chewie's, like, leaving the rebellion. It seems like Luke's working on his, like, TIE fighter. Princess Leia's, like, doing something else. And by the way, Luke seems, I don't know. Luke working on that TIE fighter, I had a lot of questions about that, too.
Yeah. I just want to know where, and I guess this was for Leia also, where they all look like, you know when, like, you're in line for Disneyland and, like, Patrick Warburton comes on and, like, tells you, like, he's in that room or something, like, working on a fake plane or something and talks to you? That's the kind of room that it felt like that Luke was in. Where were they?
It's one shot, no close-ups. Like, they literally walked them in, gave them their costume, and got eyeliner on Mark Hamill.
For sure.
And they said, let's go. Like, Mark Hamill looks younger in this
How
than he does
possible?
In Star
he
Wars.
He does.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, before the car accident where he got the scar on his face from that then is now part of, like, the world of Star Wars. But it's like that it was crazy to see how young he looked. And also, you're right. It is like that Aerosmith rock and roll roller coaster. Like, hey, you guys are here. Jump on board, man. You can come to our show, too. You Wookiees. And there's no resolution to the blockade. The whole threat of the whole episode is like, oh, there's a blockade around Kashyyyk or Kazook, as it's referenced here. And then, like, they get there, and Han's like, oh, it's a little traffic. We'll go around. Like, they don't fight. They don't do anything.
Oh, is that all it was? Or were there also people after them, though?
They were looking for rebels, right?
Yeah, but then they say that they put a blockade around the planet. And that would guess would be the blockade that they just kind of just go, oh, we'll just go here. We'll turn down this block instead.
Like, it's almost as if they didn't put a lot of thought into this thing.
Or they were on all of the drugs.
Yeah.
And
how
weird
was it when Art Carney arrived at the house, at Chewbacca's house, and, like, made Mala give him a kiss?
Yes, and the little kid.
There's much Wookiee-human crossover.
Was, like, really pushy about getting a kiss from Mala, which I thought was real creepy.
That's a real Lando move.
Yeah.
He wanted, he was all up in Leia's junk, too.
That's true, yeah.
And then Jefferson Starship, we should talk about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
I felt so stupid. I was like, I know this is a famous band. Who is this? Oh, how did they get that? Why?
Jefferson Starship in this, I mean, it's like, who are they? I mean, they got out easy. I mean, I think Diane Carroll and Jefferson Starship got out easy.
Because they just had to do what they do.
Yeah, they just put on costumes.
I'm pretty sure, though, I couldn't tell. Did they have them singing? Was the microphone, did they try to make it look like a lightsaber?
Yeah, it was all glowing. All their instruments were glowing. Do you think that they were chosen solely because their name was Starship for this?
I bet you. I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
It led me to think, too, that when they went from Jefferson Airplane to Starship, that is the coolest band reboot name I've ever heard.
I didn't even realize that. That's crazy. Yeah, Jefferson Airplane to Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, they lost Gray Slick and went, like, we're going to the stratosphere. You know how we can top losing the whole draw of this band? We're going to space.
So crazy. Oh, my God. Jefferson Starship just performs, again, in one of the many points in the show where someone watches entertainment. We have someone watching a circus. We have someone watching VR porn. We have someone watching Jefferson Starship. We have a lot of cartoons. Oh, and then the cartoon, it's voiced over by this guy. Like, now in Star Trek, it's like Captain's Log, Stardate so-and-so. In this, there's another guy who's like, Rebel Log, you know? Yeah. And it's like, who is this guy that's narrating this? Wouldn't it be like Chewbacca or like Luke Skywalker's log?
I don't know, but there's so much watching of TV in this show that it leads me to believe someone's watching me watch this every time I watch it.
I have to say that, like, while Harrison Ford must have been bummed because his character is most closely connected to the character they based the entire special around, which means he has to be in it more than anyone, he does sell it at certain points.
He does, yeah.
Like, when he, like, says, like he looks at Chewie, like, real, like, lovingly, and is like, you're like family to me.
Yeah.
And then they all say how they can't make Life Day, but yeah, and then they're all there at at Life Day, and Chewbacca's in his red smock, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, that you meant, like, the robe.
The robe, yeah.
Oh, just making sure that they're, because those were so weird.
So I think it was only to cover up the fact they didn't have enough costumes for the rest of these people, because you don't even see the other Wookiees.
Right. That's
you
right.
just see red things. And I don't understand what Life Day is. Like, Life Day, they hold an orb in their hand, then they're transported away, but then they're back.
But they
Where
walk
were
through
they?
Outer space. They walk into
is
a
it like
sun or something?
Ayahuasca? Is
no,
Life
but
Day
then they're around. Then they're around, like, a big giant tree base. Yeah. But they're in space.
Yeah. There was something about when
guys, I think they might be on Pandora.
Oh my God. When Leia sings at the end, Han and Luke have looks on their face that remind me of when my family holds hands and pray at at Christmas, where you're just, you feel like, is someone watching me right now? I've got to be respectful, but it's so uncomfortable.
Well, there's something also interesting in here right before they start to sing, like C-3PO and R2-D2 drop a very big bomb on everyone in the Star Wars world, where they basically say, like, I wish we were human so we had feelings.
And could get be credited as humans in the credits.
Yeah. And then so you understand that they are not human. And then Leia sings. I want to just play a little bit of Leia's Life Day song. So we'll hear a little bit of R2-D2 and C-3PO lamenting their non-sentient being.
It is indeed true that at times like this, R2 and I wish that we were more than just mechanical beings. And we're really alive, so that we could share your feelings with you.
Chewbacca! Chewbacca, we were so relieved to hear you were all right.
All of you are an important part of my life, pal. I'm glad I could be here.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another.
Here you go.
This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
This is what it is.
Just listen to a couple seconds of this.
The tune of Star Wars.
Oh, you're right.
It is.
A day of joy we all share.
Essentially.
Together joyously.
And now I'm further confused because they all join up there. They're all meeting up on Kashyyyk to have like a Life Day party. It doesn't seem like it's for them. It seems like this is purely a Wookiee thing, and yet she's saying how this is like galvanizing the forces of the rebels, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It seems like it's Christmas, right? It's supposed to be like Christmas.
Yes. Yeah.
It shouldn't be like
It was weird, weird moral preachy just like stuck on there.
It's like
why?
The song at the end is like, it's not, nothing about this would be fun. Nothing about it is fun. This is like a somber side story of the Star Wars world. Even at the end of Star Wars.
All Wookiees.
All Wookiees.
They're the only non-Wookiees there. I feel like, why does Chewbacca get to bring friends?
Yeah. Well, that's, again, I feel like Chewbacca's the outcast of the Wookiee planet. It's like, you're, first of all, you're a fucking deadbeat dad. Then you bring all your friends over to our Life Day. Come
you're
on, man.
And your friends take over our celebration and make speeches.
Yeah. Why is Leia singing at the Wookiee celebration?
I was like, if you're like, I get it if it's like, okay, oh, we want to, like, because we don't want to end it. Like, we want it to be English. But they didn't care about that for all the rest of the movie. So why wouldn't they have, like, get the credit. Get Chewie to make the big speech.
And by the way, I would have been very excited at the end of like Return of the Jedi, where they had the Yub Nub song. Like, that's all not English, and that's Ewok singing. Like, let's have something like that. That seems like a celebration song. Like, but nope, it's like, let's give this old, not old, let's give this white lady a chance to sing. And I just feel like she's not an entertainer. She's a princess and a rebel leader. She's not known for her singing prowess.
Ah, but Carrie Fisher.
No, that's B. Arthur.
Yeah.
I
B.
really
Arthur
did.
Gets to sing her song. Yeah, and that's really where it's at.
Oh my God. B. Arthur, like, you know, they have to fill up that cantina full of shit, like all these different creatures. And the laziest version is that giant rat on the side. Like, it's like, and a big rat. And she'll talk to that big fucking rat.
Then B, you're going to go from this guy here, and you're going to go and you're going to sit next to the big rat, and then you're going to sing this part. Like, the blocking of that alone must have made her want to kill herself.
Shot in like one day, probably the worst one day, terrible craft service. They're just sitting there miserable. B. Arthur only agreed to do it. She never saw Star Wars either, but her grandkid or something was like a big fan of it. So that's why she jumped in. And apparently the Cantina Day was an entire day, but the actors in the alien costumes began to pass out due to lack of oxygen. So there are oxygen tanks on set because of that.
Does it say where this was shot? Like this could have been... probably was, like, or CBS Radford or that Television City.
I think at the end it did say something about, I should have rewound, but, like, shot at, like, Burbank.
Of course, because every variety show ever made was shot in Burbank. I'm certain of that. Yeah. That's amazing.
There,
so close to us. That all happened so close to us. There should be a memorial or some kind of plaque or something.
But could you imagine doing the Force Awakens special now like this? Like, what would be the – like, it would be, like, the one-to-one ratio. It would be, like – I don't know what it would be. I mean, it would be, like, the girl – like, two broke girls come in.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
like, they work in, like, a Jakku diner or something like that.
Absolutely. Ava Longoria.
Two broke girls are too young.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It would have to be like who?
They're
be
too young. It would have to be like
Ed O'Neill,
like Doris Roberts and Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
You know, the producers turned down Robin Williams from being in the special. CBS didn't like him, so they turned him down. So Robin Williams could have been in the Star Wars holiday special.
Would he have been the Harvey Korman part?
I imagine he had to have been the Harvey Korman part.
Yeah, and was Mork and Mindy wasn't on yet at this point, right?
78?
Was it?
I feel like he might have. No, probably not. Yeah, they would have loved to have had him if he was.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I mean, that would have been great just to see Doris Roberts doing a song at like whatever that character, the Maz character's cantina in The Force Awakens. Hey, everybody, hold that thought. We have to take a quick commercial break. Can I be real with you? There are certain things that every person, man or woman, needs to know how to do. And one of those things is cooking, all right? And when you know your way around the kitchen, you get more friends, people like you. Why? Because you're feeding them. And if you don't get fed, you die. All right, so Blue Apron is going to make you the winner of the zombie apocalypse because you can cook with whatever ingredients you have. Here's the deal. Blue Apron is going to teach you how to cook and let you make delicious meals at the same time, okay? And when you make food at home, you eat healthier, not all that butter, all that bullshit, and you save money too, okay? So here's the deal. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will deliver all the fresh ingredients that you need to create home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. How much fun is that? You're actually cooking at home, not ordering in takeout. To get takeout, for me, it's like an hour to get the takeout there, so I could do it in half that time. All right, plus, there's no overwhelming trips to the grocery store. Oh, they don't have that thing. Oh, I got to get this. Oh, I'm only going to use like this much, but I got to buy a big bottle of it. Come on. No matter what your dietary preferences are, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like, let's see, ooh, this sounds good, salmon with roasted potatoes, horseradish creme fraiche, or pork and sage, bolognese with garganelli and ricotta. Man, it's so good. Cook with the ingredients that you've never used before, like watermelon radishes, farro, and purple potatoes. And the recipes, all of them, are between 500 and 700 calories per portion. That's nothing. It's delicious. It's good for you. Right now, you can get your first two meals for free at blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers, okay? Let me tell you about this. When you go there to blueapron.com/bonkers and you get your two free meals, that's on us. That's our gift to you, and it shows Blue Apron that you guys like their ads and you want them to advertise more, which let us do more shows. So go to blueapron.com/bonkers because Blue Apron is just a better way to cook. All right, now back to the show.
Did we talk about the instructional video?
Oh, no. That was still another Harvey Korman performance art piece. This is like, what is going on here?
Now, that I actually liked. It was so absurd and almost in a Tim and Eric way, whether they meant it or not. Yeah, I was riveted by that, and I don't know exactly why, but it was so interesting.
The child's computer equipment is broken, and he's going to repair it, so he puts on an instructional video to show him how to repair his like laptop. And it's Harvey Korman yet again as another character. This one is like you guys
robot?
Can describe it. A robot,
but
yeah.
But did they do that after the fact where they just went, well, we didn't have any jokes in the first place and he didn't really do anything. Let's tweak with the editing. Was that always planned?
again, I don't even understand the logic behind it, because the idea would be like, this is an instructional video, so why would they even release it if the robot malfunctioned, unless the robot only comes alive when they're doing it? Like, there's not even a logic there.
Well, I thought it was the playback that was malfunctioning, but don't trust me on that.
Skipping,
I don't know.
It was like skipping and jumping.
Oh, but I thought that Harvey Korman was also falling down at certain points, too, because
good
he
question.
Was...
You know what? I think you're right. I think it was after the fact, because there was not that people were reacting appropriately or the Wookiees were reacting appropriately, but like there was no acknowledgement that it was like, there was no like Lumpy was like, oh no, like it's messing up. Yeah. Just totally, totally normal. So after the fact, they were like, we got to make it interesting.
And they really did make, like, that wouldn't be amazing if that was like one of Tim and Eric's like editor's grandfathers worked on this.
Or they're like, we have to make this funny or this special isn't going to work, because everything else is right in the pocket. We nailed it. But this is the one thing.
And they also reuse footage from Star Wars a handful of times to a degree. Yeah, okay, I am watching it right now. Harvey Korman falls down. So it's not playback.
God, it's
he literally falls
deep.
And his head hits the table and he's like, he's malfunctioning. He's shorting out.
That's crazy.
Why not just put him in the room with them and then you just have a funny robot performance? I guess no one was going to get on that Wookiee set.
Yeah.
It was only broadcast once. We talked about that. Anything else that we may have missed I know that there's so much to talk about, this is an issue that I always have. Mala is making Wookiee Ookies, which are Wookiee cookies, but that's an issue that I have because we don't call them like human Ookies. I don't understand.
Yeah, a cookie's a cookie.
Exactly. They don't have to have like the name of the species before it. You wouldn't call them. Yeah, they were called Wookiee Ookies.
Yeah.
He's like, are you making some of those Wookiee Ookies for
me? We're making some human ramen over here.
I did feel like Art Carney would have fucked
Mala. Well, it makes
Mala.
It sound like they're made of Wookiee.
Maybe they're cannibals.
Which would make Wookiees cannibals.
I do want to go back to, do you think that Art Carney did have an affair with Mala? Could that have happened? Because the way he wanted to kiss her.
Well, you can't blame her for, you know, I mean, A, yeah. for because
She's
Chewbacca's
lonely.
Gone, but also Art Carney, what a catch.
And then when Chewbacca gets back, the sexual chemistry that is between, the sexual tension between him and Mala is palpable.
Why didn't they actually kiss? It almost happened and then they hugged. I wanted to see that Wookiee kiss so bad.
I don't think
bad.
Their mouths can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's no way.
Again, I feel like I want to go deep into Chewbacca's life, couples therapy, why Mala's upset with him. Like, what is going on?
I feel like maybe that was a little bit of the intention. Like, if it went over well, maybe they would have made, like, a TV series off of it.
Oh, I think you're probably right.
Oh, yeah. I feel like they did make these Ewok specials eventually, like, right. later on, which we were going to maybe focus on, but they're just actually too boring. this is at least is a train wreck. I think that, like, imagine if Lucas directed the second one. This is what he wanted. He wanted to focus on Wookiees like this. Like, The Empire Strikes Back could have had a giant chunk of just
this
Wookiee. Just boring Wookiee. Takes the most interesting character, the most, like, beast-like character, and just, like, makes him the most domesticated. There's an oven in there. They have, like, a nice oven
You're
and
right.
furniture. There's nothing Wookiee about it. It's just nice. It's like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see what the equivalent of a Wookiee chair is?
The only difference between a Wookiee and a human family is that they don't speak English and most of their house is made of wood. That's the only difference.
Which you could say for a lot of Italians.
That's
Wow. Really going hard at Italians.
Again.
I mean, or anyone who, like, where is IKEA from?
Don't try and backtrack on this now.
No, they're not notoriously hairy. You have to stay Mediterranean to make this work.
What else? Anything else that you saw that worth bringing up?
I was just going to say that the part that I really did get emotional
yes.
when Lumpy, when he's putting back together the stuffed
yes.
animal, I felt for him. And all of the inserts, they had just like random inserts really close up
yeah.
of a lot of their faces.
Yeah.
And like the ones at the end of Mala, like almost crying.
Oh yeah.
Were so they were like I was like oh and then I couldn't I like burst out laughing because they were so absurd.
I got emotional when he had to clean his room because they showed the entire process and it just brought me back to when I had to clean my room.
I don't know if it's like being a new dad on some level, but I do get emotional with like things with like sons and dads. I did get like a little bit like there was a moment I was like oh I'm like I'm feeling this yeah. because it was like you don't want to see a kid get beat up and tortured and. No. Treated poorly by the stupid
Imperials.
Oh my
God, that's amazing. I really just, the thing that I want to remind everybody of is that in the middle of all of this, they murder a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And everybody appears to be unfazed.
And our Arkrony, when he goes and he when they're like where is he? He lies and says that he was robbed and that then he fled. But he's so incriminating himself, the guy they will so quickly find out. No, oh, yeah. He was thrown off of this thing.
For yeah. all of the distrust that the Empire has throughout this entire special, in that one sentence, they're like, okay, good enough for me. Let's wrap this up. You got it, buddy.
Makes sense that our stormtrooper just defected. Out of no reason and on Kashyyyk, like in this yeah. Wookiee planet where he'll stick out like a sore thumb. I did want to.
I guess that guy robbed a bunch of Wookiees and took off for the forest because that's what stormtroopers do.
Oh, there's two things I didn't even talk about. The first of all, I just briefly just want to mention the long antenna on like I guess you know one of the Imperial soldiers has like an antenna that is. I would say like 3 feet. Yeah. It's like, rump,
yeah. And
it's
like, CB antenna.
Yeah, CB antenna, which I loved. Just like the technology should be a little bit more advanced than that. We're flying spaceships around.
I mean, they have pocket aquariums for Christ's sake.
Yeah, we're calling up Leah across the galaxy. We're getting a live stream to Mos Eisley's. We don't need this long antenna here anymore. And then the other thing that I want to talk about is so at the end, Chewbacca and Han get there. They kill a stormtrooper, and Chewbacca's kid jumps into whose arms first? Han
Solo, that's right. Yeah.
The kid jumps in, like, again, proving Chewbacca's a bad dad. The first person
Man,
he goes
that's
to.
That's only something a new dad would notice.
That is the takeaway from the special. Chewbacca is
a bad dad. Yeah. That is now canon.
Yes.
Obviously, that was our opinion about the film, but there are other people out there with another opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Make no mistake, this movie blows. And we have now reached the best part of the show. Paul Scheer and the gang, they had their say. But there are people out there that feel a different way. Let's check out these five-star reviews. Close to Amazon, we'll try to figure out what is going on.
Okay. When I watched this when I was a young kid, I loved it because it was a Star Wars show. I wasn't a critic. Now that I'm older, I suspect this was created by people under the influence of drug culture in the 70s, using Star Wars characters to tell a story. If you can see and accept this, this show is very good. Entertaining, creative, and its own way unique.
Leonard Maltin.
5 stars. Well, I guess, yeah, if you accept drug culture in the 70s, then that works.
I'd maybe agree with that, sort of.
I think that they did weird shit here. I mean, it definitely, like, no one's really into it in the 5-star reviews.
They're probably all enjoying it ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, like, the Star Wars Holiday Special is sadly a forgotten classic. The epic storyline is primarily concerned with Chewbacca trying to make it home in time for Life Day. But at its core, the film is a metaphor for the common man's attempt to make the world better for his family in the face of corrupt and uncaring people. Parallels to 1984 are envisioned by the Empire occupying their house and manhandling their property. This classic also allows us insight into the supposedly gruff character of Han Solo, who reveals his tender side and his relations with Chewbacca and Chewbacca's family. His crying when Princess Leia sings the lyrics to Star Wars' main theme. Oh, wow. 5 stars. I didn't realize that would be like, that's the lyrics to the main theme.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This is written by like an Ayn Rand reader, that one, where it's like the tyranny in 1984. That is like a Tea Party person.
Yeah. People liked it. People liked this. Would you guys recommend watching this? at all.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Over a week at
especially
least.
Especially right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's a good chance because it's the holiday season.
Watch it right before or after seeing The Force Awakens too, just to see when what happens in that movie happens. It's good to reflect on.
It really is good to remember the important things here. And we didn't talk about, I think, the best part, which was the cartoon.
Yeah, good.
I enjoyed it. I also, I mean, there was no point. They didn't get, it was like, oh, whoa, like Boba Fett wasn't on our side.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened.
It's solely to get the action figure marketed.
It's so crazy. Like every resolution here is so quick. It's like Boba Fett's like, oops. See you later, suckers. And he just like shoots out. It's like, this is like a world-class assassin. He could have just gotten to a gunfight or anything. Like, they basically like, we know you're a bad guy. He's like, oop, bye-bye.
Yeah, he could have killed him at any time.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, like Boba Fett is a bad bounty hunter. Yeah. But it looks cool. And like, I almost would have preferred if the whole holiday special were these like little vignettes, right. like cool little, because that was like a cool adventure. So yeah, obviously you couldn't shoot Star Wars. So why don't you just do them as cartoons?
It had that animation style, like heavy metal or like the creep show interstitials where the people always are, they're always moving. Like,
yeah,
it has that strange 70s, I don't know, like punk rock animation or something. It's really cool.
I also really enjoyed the way Harrison Ford was drawn.
Oh, yeah.
It was so weird. He had like little tiny, they almost drew him like he was like high the whole time.
Well, he was.
Yeah. I wish like, you know, it's so funny. Like Harrison Ford, I think, had so many issues with the Return of the Jedi, but I feel like this is back in the day where you could get your main cast of the biggest blockbuster of all time to do a TV variety special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is nothing else like that. You will never see this again. Like, you could never even get the Lord of the Rings, like, Elfin Feast special. You would never see these characters out and about. Like, people have a hard time even getting characters to do video game voices. Like, you get alone, come on and act in like a multicam production of their own shit.
The closest analog to this is they'll go on like a Jimmy Fallon and do a Star Wars sketch or something like that. Or like Daniel Craig did one for Spectre, and that's the best you'll get out of them.
Yeah, and even
or
that.
Or you'll get now, I think what you get more is like Daniel Craig has to do like a Heineken ad.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a Funnier Dive.
You know, which I feel like has the same level of embarrassment.
That's right, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll never know what Life Day is officially.
When do we know when it is exactly?
I mean, look, we don't.
It's Christmas, I think.
Do we know, is it like, is like in the Star Wars universe, is the calendar the same as ours?
I mean, it literally can't be because ours is a lunar calendar based on our sun.
So they don't have that. We know that it's not winter on Kashyyyk, or maybe. Again, that's my issue with these planets. It could be winter somewhere. That could just be he could live in the Miami version of the Wookiee planet. We don't know if it's winter. They didn't seem to have any decorations up for it.
But if we've learned anything from Star Wars planets, it's one terrain per planet. All snow, all desert.
It's so bizarre. Like, that's the laziness of Star Wars. Just like one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It would be so cool if Star Wars was on one planet. Then it would make a lot of sense. Like, different islands.
Continents, yeah.
Nope, just all different planets. This is the island planet. This is the desert planet.
This is the floating planet.
Well, that was the Star Wars Holiday Special. We are glad that you guys bared with it with us. I mean, I'm glad I watched the whole thing. It's unique. You'll never make anything this wrong and this off ever again.
It has a certain beauty.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm really happy I watched it before. It's totally taken off YouTube and everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel like it always comes back. It always comes back.
Yeah, it'll
like,
always exist. There's
I got this at a convention like long ago, and now I feel like now that YouTube is out there and BitTorrent's out there, it will never die, thankfully.
Yeah.
I can't wait to show this to my child as the first introduction to Star Wars.
This is what everybody loves.
Eden, what do you have to promote, plug, anything at all?
I'm on the show on ABC on Wednesday, called The Middle. Wednesday night, 8 p.m., 7 Central.
I like it. I like the 7 Central in there.
And I have a cartoon on Disney Channel.
Oh, awesome. What's your cartoon?
It's called Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Ooh.
It's very cool. It's about a badass princess. That's it.
I'm excited about that.
And I have a
Are you going to have a holiday special?
Hopefully. Here's open. I'll make sure the creator has seen this already so that she can be inspired by it. And then I have a website that's pretty cool that I'm trying to get back on the ground. Is that the expression?
Yeah, off the ground, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the website?
It's called the-emotionary.com.
I like that name.
Yeah, what's on there?
Here's the elevator pitch. It's a dictionary for your feelings, words that don't exist for feelings
Ooh,
that
I
do.
I like it.
Go there. Feel your feelings.
I love it. Matt, what do you got?
Well, Lord knows I have too many podcasts, but we'll start with the Super Ego podcast, which is fun, improvised junk. I was there too, where I talked to people present in great scenes of cinema history. Paul, you were on there.
I was.
And I think I actually, when I was researching a little bit for the holiday special, there's a guy, one of the Imperial Guards, that I want to try to track down and get him on there.
Oh my God.
And I want some inside answers.
Oh, that would be great. This is one of my favorite podcasts. I was there too. It's so good. He interviews amazing people from like the Bus of Speed is my favorite one because it's everybody from the bus in the movie Speed, all with like a Rashomon version of the events that happened. Yeah. They're not all lining up.
That's right. And then James Bonding, where we talk about the Bonding films, which I will plug because you're going to be on the Spectre episode that will probably come out right after this.
I'm very excited about that. I have a lot of thoughts about Spectre. Jason, what do you got to plug?
I'm on this season of Transparent on Amazon, and you can buy or rent the movie Sleeping With Other People on iTunes.
Ooh, awesome. We have our t-shirts, our BB-8 What's Its Mission t-shirts available at howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com. Here's the deal. If you order the t-shirt, each one is made individually per your order. We don't have a whole merchandise, like a warehouse. So it takes 2 to 7 days to make, and then they're shipped out to you. So if you have any questions about why you haven't gotten your shirt because you ordered it yesterday, it's not Amazon. They're being made specifically for you. So go to howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com to get your BB-8 What Is Its Mission t-shirt that will probably be taken down by Disney or Lucasfilm very shortly. And you can always check out, for me, The White Ninja, which is on Vine, the first animated cartoon series on Vine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, thank you to everybody for listening. If you felt like we missed something, that we didn't talk about, something that you want to talk about, head on over to earwolf.com. You can leave a comment in our message boards and we will read them on our next mini episode. Also, a big thank you to Avril Halley, who does all of our clip pulling. She has an amazing site called Movie Bitches. We'll be posting some of her amazing clips that she pulled for this episode up on our Twitter page. Also, a big shout out to Nate Kiley, Marissa Zeitz, Cody Scully, everybody here at Earwolf for making this show. And we thank you and wish you a very happy life day or whatever holiday you celebrate. See you in the new year. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. If you love the show and you want to take some of the show home with you, we have What Exactly is a Street Fighter t-shirts and How Did This Get Made pins available right now in the Earwolf store. Head on over there right away.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad. Oh no, Nicole.
I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional. But
it's because it's pure to talk about
it
friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who...
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher.
Apple Podcasts.
Spotify or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God.